Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Romans 6:16-18. Now in the inspired epistles written by the apostles and other inspired men, we have much that teaches us how to live as Christian people. But among the things that are taught in these epistles are reminders of what the Christian has done to become one of the saved in the relationship with God. And we read of what was done to become a Christian, as this parable teaches and commands our attention. In this chapter, the Apostle Paul had reminded his brethren how they had died to sin in verse 2. They had been baptized into Christ and into his death, verse 3. They had been buried in baptism and raised to walk in newness of life, verse 4. They had become united with Christ, verse 5. And the old man of sin, having been crucified, now they were no longer under bondage to sin, verse 6. Now in verse 17 of this sixth chapter, he mentions what they once were. They once were servants of sin, but it was not true of them any longer. And the reason it was no longer true, it was because they had obeyed the form of doctrine delivered them. And by that obedience, they changed their service from a servant of sin to being a servant of righteousness. Verse 18. Now we take note here of a matter that we're going to discuss in greater detail later, that the passage of Romans chapter 6, 3 and 4, it speaks of a death, burial, and resurrection in that very logical order. Where there is death, there is to be a burial, and it is after the burial that comes the resurrection. Now notice, friend, Paul said they had been obedient to something. What had they obeyed? Paul said they had obeyed a form of doctrine. Now, they had not merely obeyed a doctrine, but they had been obeyed a form, and this word form means a pattern. That form was a form of doctrine. It was a picture, it was a representation, it was a likeness of a doctrine. Now, the doctrine is one matter. The form of the doctrine is another matter. Now, they had the doctrine delivered to them. That is, this doctrine had been preached to them. They had believed what they had heard, and they obeyed. What had they obeyed? They obeyed that which is in the likeness of the doctrine that they had heard. Well, let us at this point ask the question, what is the doctrine to which Paul refers? What's the doctrine that had been delivered them? Well, cannot we see that whatever it is, obedience to the form of that doctrine was necessary for them to change from being a servant of sin to being a servant of righteousness? That obedience was absolutely compulsory. It was necessary. It was essential. It was not optional. They had obeyed a form, and the doctrine that must be the doctrine by which we can obtain salvation from sin, because that's when a person leaves being a servant of sin to become a servant of righteousness. Now, the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. And let me pause here in the reading to remind you of Romans 1 and verse 16, that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Now they had heard the gospel by which they are saved. And Paul continues, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye believed in vain, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now please notice that this doctrine did not come from Paul. This was a doctrine that he preached, but it was a doctrine which he had received. The apostles were guided by the Holy Spirit in that which they preached. He had received this doctrine. He had preached this doctrine to the Romans. He had preached this doctrine to the Corinthians. And this is the saving gospel that Paul preached everywhere. He preached the same doctrine everywhere he went. He's not like some preachers today. They'll preach one message here and a contradictory message somewhere else to suit their crowd. And the doctrine that he preached is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Now, friend, let us understand something that's very basic and fundamental. There's no salvation apart from the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. His blood was shed in his death, and there is no salvation without the shedding of blood. Hebrews 10 and verse 4. We sing the song, what can wash away my sins? Well, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Friend, this is the doctrine. This is the form of which the Romans had obeyed. The form was a likeness, was a picture, was a representation of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Now, we have to keep before us that in God's plan for saving man, God has a part, and man has a part. The divine part is that which God has provided, that which deity has done on the behalf of man. The human part is that man, in order to take advantage of the benefits of God's part, must believe and obey. God has provided the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ for our salvation. Our part is to obey the form of that doctrine. Well, what is the form of this saving doctrine that men must obey? Well, friend, you will recall that after Jesus came from the tomb, just prior to his ascension, he said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Mark 16:15-16. Now, we're concerned, of course, about salvation. We're not concerned about being condemned. We don't want to be condemned. All you have to do to be condemned is just don't believe. But now we're concerned with our salvation. And Christ shows that faith and baptism were listed by him for our salvation. And I say to you with all confidence, no man has a right to tamper with what Christ has specified. He doesn't have a right to change it in any way. Faith and baptism, Jesus included both of them as necessary for salvation. And Jesus also taught, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Luke 13:3. And he said in Luke 12:8, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. Now the Savior then requires faith, repentance, confession of him, and baptism in order to be saved. And friend, this is exactly what the apostles taught as we read in the book of Acts. People in the New Testament did those very same things in order to be saved as we read in the book of Acts. These are matters of divine command. These are not optional. These are not pick and choose that men might do what they like. And Paul says obedience to the form of doctrine is necessary for salvation. So we must find that form. that must be obeyed. In the doctrine, the first item is the doctrine of death. Christ died. Well, where's the likeness of death in these instructions? Paul said in Romans 6:2 that we become dead to sin. The old man of sin is crucified, Romans 6 and verse 6. You see, we separate our lives from the ways of sinful living. And there must be a change from the love and the practice of sin to a love and a practice of righteousness. Our affections are called away from evil and from wickedness, called into the pure ways of God. We must change our mind, turn our lives, so sin will no longer rule and reign. That's called repentance. And when one repents, he's making the resolve to separate himself from the ways of sin, believing the message that we all do sin, believing that Christ is the Savior from sin, repenting of sin, and determining to go that way no more. That pictures spiritual death to sin. We're not yet forgiven of past sins, but we have made the determination of the direction we're going to go. As Christ died, so sin also must be mortified. But now the second item in this form of doctrine is burial. The second, Christ was buried. We're also buried with him in baptism. And this should forever close the contention that baptism is a mere sprinkling or pouring. But we're not so optimistic. Well, men will abandon the traditions in favor of God's truth. But God's truth is still very plain. Baptism is an immersion. That's what the scriptures teach. And if we believe the scriptures, we will believe that. And furthermore, as Christ was raised from the dead, his resurrection, we're raised from that watery grave to walk in newness of life. And so we see, in faith, repentance, and baptism, we have the likeness of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. In faith, repentance, and baptism, we have that form of doctrine that had been obeyed and by which men are saved. Notice just when a person becomes a servant of righteousness. Notice when he ceases his servitude to sin. It's not before he obeys the form, but upon his obedience to the form of doctrine that saves, then he is no longer a servant of sin. He becomes a servant of righteousness. And he's not a servant of righteousness until he obeys that form. Now, these Romans had obeyed that from the heart, that entire form, and they were then, by that obedience, made servants of righteousness. They had entered into the death of Christ, where his blood was shed. They were washed clean of their sins when they were baptized. It is as Ananias told Saul of Tarsus, "And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Well, what enabled that to be a reality? It was because of faith, repentance, confession, and baptism into Christ, where we reached the saving blood of Christ. That form of doctrine by which men are changed from a servant of sin to a servant of righteousness is to be obedient to the command to be baptized for the remission of sins. We must obey that command. That's the Lord's will. Men might concoct some other way, but that other way will not suffice. Only the Lord's way is the way that is right. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.